That's generally for my life. That's, you know, maybe yours has been different. But there's been an occasion where God really wanted me to get quiet, to get desperate for him, and to call out to him and say, "What is it, Lord? What is it that I'm doing that you're not pleased with? What areas do I need to get better in? What ways are you trying to talk to me? What is it, Lord?" Sometimes it took a while. He wanted me to set aside some extra time to be quiet and to listen to God. So that's the first thing. If God is quiet and you're thinking, "Where are you, God?" I think you should start with a good examination for sin. Where am I at? When God is silent, obey what he has already stated. I find it often that teenagers or even some adults that I've had the opportunity to counsel will come to me and say, I'm looking at college, you know, I'm looking at going to college. Where should I go?" And I'm like, "Well, that's not really exactly what I can tell you. I can tell you some general principles of what you should be looking for and help guide you." And they say, but Caleb, I've prayed, and God's not saying anything." And usually what I start with is that first thing. Okay, what is there any potential sin? No, I'm right with God. I've been listening to him. I've not been doing whatever, you know. Then the next thing is, okay, what has he already told you to do? And there's a few things in Scripture that he has already told us to do. Romans 12 and verse 2. If you want to turn over there, I know I'm having you turn quite a bit. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You're trying to find God's will? You're trying to understand what God wants for you? Well, guess what? He's not hiding it from you. He wants you to know. It just may not be time yet, or he wants you to do what he's already told you to do. I'm going to go through several of these. There's clearly many more that are things that he's asked for you to do, but be being transformed. I don't know if that's the correct way to say that, but that's how I'm going to say it, okay? Be being transformed. Be growing might be a better idea. Be in God's Word, to be examining yourself through the mirror of God's Word, to say, "Who am I? And what does God's Word say I should be?" Oh, there's a difference. Okay. Hey, you ever looked in a mirror before? You guys look like you've looked in mirrors before, right? You get in the mirror and you think, "Oh, wow." Have you ever had a time where you ate something with like black pepper on it or something, and you had like this big black thing on your tooth, and maybe you're at, you know, I had one time where I went to a restaurant. And then we went to like four different stores that we had bought some things. And then I went to the restroom, and like washing my hands, like look up, and I'm like, "Oh, man, like that's been in my teeth this whole time. I hadn't been seeing it." That's what God's word is for us. It's like, "Hey, you got a glaring issue right here." You're reading along and it says to not be lying, or it says to, you know, how to treat people, or to be reconciling, or to not be anxious, or whatever it's telling you to do. As you're looking, you're like, "Oh," the Holy Spirit says, "Boop, that area right there you need to work on." Then change. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer as well. Be being transformed is how I'm saying that. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. Familiar verse. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks. Recently, Hannah and I have, like I said, experienced some quietness in our family, not between us, but with God. And it's been, like I said, kind of unnerving. And when that happens, sometimes it's easy to get really negative. It's easy to say, well, look at what happened today. It was a bad day because such and such happened. I had a string this past week. I worked on Monday and didn't work the rest of the week. Just the way it ended up, I had work. I just wasn't getting a response from the guy that I was wanting to work for. He had me do a little bit of work and then ghosted me. So I don't know what's going on. I still don't know what's going on. It's very quiet, very unnerving as someone that's self-employed to be like, well, this is what I was planning on doing this week, but now he won't. I mean, you don't want to just show up at his house. And so you're kind of like, well, maybe he didn't like my work. I don't know, but I would kind of appreciate some talking or something here. But that was one of the things this week that happened. The kids are sick. It just seemed like one thing after the other. But you know what? We kind of found ourselves pretty down on everything. It's windy today. Just tired of this wind. Like, is it seriously going to be hot already? I mean, it's like 80 degrees outside. Like, okay, it's getting like below freezing. Are you kidding me? It's like, man, we really can't let God win here. He's given you a whole range. It's raining tomorrow. Seriously, when are we going to get rain? This pollen is killing me. You know, it seems like anything that God did was viewed as a negative. And when your spirit gets that way, all you see is negatives. You can't see any of the positives. You get all the bad and none of the good. And Hannah said, maybe two nights ago, she said, let's do this. At the end of every day, let's sit down and instead of scrolling mindlessly on our phones, let's sit down before bed and just go through all the good things today. We had a doctor give us free advice about Shiloh. We had some beautiful weather that we got to go outside with the kids and get out of the sick house, you know. We have a car that works, a house that is heated or cooled, depending on what the weather is doing during this time. We have money in the bank. I'm not broke. That's good. Enough to pay bills. That's a good thing. We have people that care about us. Another thing that happened this week that could be viewed as a negative is my dad had surgery, and it went really well. It went really well. that's a big deal. I talked to somebody this week at the gas station, and they're missing a loved one very much. And I could be doing that. My dad sent a little meme on our family chat because he was back in the hospital yesterday. It ended up being nothing, so no big deal there. But he said, what we think of God's plan, and it's like a straight line going up, and then it's like what God's plan actually is, and it's like this big, like long journey of hills and creeks and ponds and things. But each one of those things teach us a lesson. My point is, be thankful. One of the biggest signs of a spiritually mature person is someone that is constantly thankful. There's people. Well, pastor at Freedom That Lasts, he mentioned a friend of his. He's also a friend of mine, called Big Bob. His name's Bob Roberts, but he's got cancer, and without a miracle from the Lord, he's going to die. And instead of him saying, "This is so unfair, I shouldn't have this," instead he said, "This is a great opportunity for me to share what it's like to be a dead man walking. That's literally what he started a podcast called Dead Men Walking, and he's sharing all about what God is doing in his heart and life while he's working through a terminal cancer diagnosis. It's like, how does he do that? He's just thankful. He's just thankful for every tiny little gift that God's given him. And it's a great testimony for who his God is. If you'd like to pray for him, I thought his daughter is probably, she was probably three when I, somewhere around 13-ish, she was adopted. And it took them a long time to actually officially be able to adopt her. It's really heartbroken for her. But maybe God will do a miracle. That would be awesome. But in the meantime, he's showing himself strong through this guy's attitude. So be thankful. So we've gone through being transformed and be thankful. Then be pure. Specifically, in regards to sexuality. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Now, some of this it definitely goes into the category of examining sin. If you're not being pure, you are not examining sin well, okay? That is something that you need to repent of. But it's interesting that it specifically mentions this as the will of God for us. And so I thought I'd specifically point it out. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. This is something that's very important. It's not a little thing. Your mind as a man or a lady is very important. We know from God's talking in Matthew how he thinks about your mind. So be pure with your spouse if you're single, in preparations for your spouse, and because of God told us to. So be being transformed, be thankful, be pure. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. That's pretty much what the verse says exactly, okay? So that's Micah 6:8. I won't turn over there, but that's what God calls for us to do. To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. I think there's many sides to this, but I'm going to pull out one that's particularly convicting to me, okay? Walking humbly. What does that look like? What does it look like to walk humbly? Is that what walking humbly looks like? I did have a professor was a missions professor in college, and he would always talk about you can spot an American a mile away when they walk into a new country. And he said, because of their nose in the air, he said, they walk off the plane like this. And he said, they're very proud people, Americans are. And that is very true. And it's okay to be thankful for our country. It's not okay to think we're better than everyone else. That's not okay. But when you see other people from other countries, and a lot of it's customs too, but they're naturally showing respect by bowing. But is that what God's talking about here? Is he talking about specifically walking in a manner like, hey, I'm going to the store, I better make sure my head is kind of bowed to the other people that are around me? No, of course not. He's not specifically talking about that. But I think he is talking about going through your life in a humble manner. Don't give off an arrogant or proud demeanor by the way you walk. We've all met those people, right? Haven't you met the people that kind of, you're like, man, that guy thinks a lot about himself, doesn't he? But we do these things in a number of ways. We will slip these little things in that are very prideful. I challenge you all to do a project that I have done many times in the past, and I probably it's about time I do it again. But it's called 75 Ways in Which You Are Selfish. You're supposed to write 75 ways you're selfish, and then five at a time fix them week after week. You say 75. That's quite a few. It's really not. Unfortunately, you find them quick. Now, you do have to get pretty specific. You know, I'm, you know, selfish by, you know, leaving my plate on the table for my wife to clean up instead of me just taking it to the dishes. So, you know, it's very specific actions of selfishness, not just like, I am selfish at home. Well, maybe you won't get to 75 that way. But if you get down to the real brass tacks of it, you know, when I first did it, I was selfish because I would race to the car to make sure my sibling wouldn't get the front seat. I wanted the front seat, right? Okay, is that a battle for you guys? It was always a battle for us and in our house, and it was something I needed to work on. That's really showing a little bit of pride. I'm better than you, and I want what I want, so I'm going to get what I want, right? That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, being a servant there. So do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. I know we're turning everywhere. It's the nature of this message specifically, but bear with me. Ephesians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, do not be wise, but do not be unwise. That's a bad mistake to make. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be wise. Right now in Sunday school, we're going over the book of Proverbs, and there's just chock full of wisdom. But he talks about the benefits of wisdom in Proverbs a lot. It's like, hey, if you will be wise, if you will have understanding, it will do these things. It'll provide protection. It'll provide this. It'll be that and this. You should pursue it like it's a super, super valuable thing because it is a super, super valuable thing. But God says, I say, well, how do you gain wisdom? I mean, it's not just like something you just like either have it or you don't. And I've seen some people that are really not very wise. It's like, I think God gives us that answer. He says, ask for it. He says, come to me and ask about wisdom and I'll give it to you. I will show you how to be wise. 1 Peter 2:15, obey civil authority. I won't read through that passage, but it's talking about just obey the governing authorities. Over you. That's one of the things that God asks of us. That's an important thing right before tax season, right? I hate it too, but it's part of it. And as a believer, we should be obeying our civil authorities for sure. Then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust God. I'm going to turn over there, even though I think I could quote it. This is an important one. Understanding who God is vital for dealing with these silent times. Probably one of the most influential times in my life was a time, I do air quotes for this, God let me down. And still to this day, that specific time impacts me on a regular basis. I'll set up the story. I had a lot of friends who had a big college bill. And in our college, it's a very small school. They did not do, they're not accredited. They could not take government loans or anything like that. There was no loaning system for it. You had to have your bill paid off completely by the time you graduated, or you could not take finals and you could not graduate. That's how it worked in our college. And some of that's good. It is a strictly ministry school. These people are not going to make a bunch of money, and therefore they don't need a ton of debt hanging over them as they go to a church. You know, a small church somewhere is not going to be able to support what they need. And so there is some good sides to it. There's some things I disagree with as well, but we won't get into that here today. But I did not have that. My dad works at that school, and because of that, I got free tuition. It's one of the reasons I went there. But I still wanted the exercise of faith, because I was consistently hearing some of my friends say, I didn't have the money for my school bill, and I watched and prayed, and God provided. And I was like, man, I want to see God work like that in my heart. I want to see God do that. So I started praying about, God, what can I do to step out by faith? What can I do to exercise my faith for you? And one of my friends, he wasn't going to be able to take finals that year. He wasn't going to get his bill, paid up. And he could at any point pay that bill and come and take the finals at that point. So it's not like it was a completely wasted year, but he had to get caught up before he could take those. Hannah and I were dating very seriously. We had talked many times about getting engaged and getting married, and I was saving for a specific piece of jewelry that goes on the hand, and we talked it over together, and I just said, here's the deal. I don't have enough in the ring fund to pay all of his stuff, but I have a good amount, and I think we could do that. But you have to understand, you're not going to get the kind of ring that you want. You're going to get a lesser ring. We're not going to go into debt for the ring. That was something we decided together as well. And she was like, this is way more important. And so I was like, okay, that's awesome. Let's do it. But he was just short. And I was like, we could pay the whole thing if I took some money that I kind of needed for some bills, specifically my gas bill, meaning my gas in my car. And I said, oh, this is it. This is God's answer. I'm going to step out by faith, and I'm going to watch God provide. And I did not tell a single soul, including Hannah. Hannah had ways to where she could make it happen, and I wanted it to be from God, and she would routinely. I was extremely broke all through college, and she was decently broke, but a little better off than I was, and so one day went by. I was driving 30 minutes ish to school every day, so an hour a day. One day, 2 days, 3 days. It's Wednesday. I get paid on Thursday. And I'm like, I'm actually going to make it. God's just going to stretch this gas tank. I had made it to school. I really just had to make it from school to church. And then I would be close enough to home that I really felt. And I had 0.00 in the bank account. There is not a penny that I could put to gas. I had zero savings. There was nothing. But I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, I had complete faith God was going to do this. He was going to do it. And I was so excited. And I was driving to church that Wednesday, and in fact, God did not do it, at least not the way I wanted it done. So I veered to the right, and I was like, well, what they always say, God doesn't work until the last minute, you know, like, I'm going to wait here for a few minutes. So I sat there becoming more and more angry with God by the minute. I stepped out by faith and you just let me drop. And God was just really quiet. It was one of those irritating times, you know, like, I'm upset and you need to answer me right now. And he's like, I mean, he didn't say this, but his silence communicated to me, I'm God, you're not. Get that in your head. And so I had to call my girlfriend at the time and say, hey, I'm dead broke. I have no money and I need help. I'm on the side of the road. That was embarrassing. It was humiliating, really. As many times I persuaded Hannah to stay at the college and just hang out there because I didn't have money to take us on a date. I was broke. And she was always good with that. But so she comes to my rescue and she can tell when she walks up, I am furious. And she told me later, she said, I think I'm going to have to break up with him because if he stays this angry with God, this is never going to work. And she gave me enough gas to get home. I almost broke down again before I got my check the next day. It was, I opened the gas cap and it's like, you know, like it's pressurized fumes in there is all I had. And I get to church and I was working with a youth group at that time, and my youth pastor said, starting a new series, not really sure why I'm starting the series tonight. He just felt like God, but I'm starting this new series on what if God says no? And I was like, okay, you got my attention. I'm still kind of like, you know, like that kid I talked about earlier. I had that attitude. I was slumped down like, I don't want to be in this church service. I'm mad at God, and, you know, he let me down. And he went on to explain who God is and how he's God and I'm not. And really, that was the crux of it for me. He was God and I wasn't. And there, either I had the choice to believe he was evil and wanted me to fail, or there was some set of circumstances I didn't understand at the time. And I eventually, through a process of time, came to the conclusion, you know what, God? You're God, I'm not, and I'm going to choose to trust you. And I cannot tell you how valuable that moment has been for Hannah and I's marriage and life as we go through when there's times that we say, what are you doing? I say, you know what? There was a time where I didn't understand, and God made it happen. When my sister, who'd been trying to get pregnant for 7 years, gets pregnant and then the baby dies before birth, you're like, what are you doing, God? Like, why give it to her in the first place? Why? That's just cruel. God is just cruel. And then you say, you know what? I go back to what I know in the dark times about God. He's God. I'm not. There must be something in this circumstance that I don't understand. And 3 foster girls later, and a whole lot of hope and transformed lives, you're like, oh, okay. Maybe you did know what you were doing. Maybe that heartache was bringing these girls to you and watching them trust one by one. We still got a couple to go here, but trust who he is and get adopted. And these things are big, but it's hard to take in the moment. And that's why it's important to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I had a friend one time tell me, it was explaining this verse, and he said, what does it mean when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart? It means that if this is God, it's not enough. I'm only leaning on him. If this is God, this is not enough. I'm leaning on myself still. The only way you get to the kind of trust that God wants is you say, okay, I'm standing only on you, and I trust you completely. So that helps when circumstances go awry and things don't look the way you want them to look and times are hard. You say, I'm going to trust in what God says, and I'm not even going to even slightly lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust in God. So that's a big one when God is silent. In my opinion, that may be the biggest thing you can do, is to just trust completely what God has said. Because sometimes it feels like he's gone. Where is he? He said he would never leave me or forsake me, but where is he now? He's gone when I need him the most. I was complaining to the Lord the other day, I'm embarrassed to say. I was like naming the bad things, and I was getting ready to pull up to the house, and I'm calling out to God, and there's nothing. It's quiet. It's silent. And I said, hello. I'm in the car by myself. I said, hello, do you not care that I'm struggling here? And he said, boy, that sounds familiar. Where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, when the disciples were in a turmoil of the sea and I was sleeping, and they came to me and said, Savior, do you not care that we're perishing in the sea? And he said, oh, ye of little faith. I said, okay, Lord, okay, I'll have faith. I'll choose to trust you when I don't understand. I'll choose to trust when you're quiet. When God is silent, choose to trust his word more than your feelings or circumstances. I'll just list a couple of verses here. Matthew 6:35, Psalm 28:7, Proverbs 3:5-6 we just read, Psalm 32:8, Psalm 119:105, that 119:105 talks about he's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That implies that the path is in the dark. Does it not? Maybe I'm stretching scripture a little there, but I think it does. When we say he's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, man, it makes me think I got a flashlight that shines right down. And I think, okay, that's the step he said to take. Oh, there's the next step. Oh, there's the next step. Hannah and I did that when we came out here. I said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I think you want me to work at the Wilds this summer before we get married. I think that's a terrible idea, but I think that's what you want. Okay, we do that. Getting to be August, September time, we're getting married in October, and I don't have a house, a job, anything. I have nothing. Like, you gonna lead me? And I get a call from Pastor. Hey, would you want to come to live in Missouri? Yeah, it sounds like a dream. Let's come out and visit. And what do you know? We came out. He directs your paths, but sometimes it's not the way you want it to. You have to trust him. So trust in God. So when God is silent, examine for sin. When God is silent, obey what you have already know about God. God is silent. Trust him completely more than circumstances. When God is silent, increase prayer. You ever had a situation where someone was kind of giving you the silent treatment? Listen, God is not petty, and he's not like an angry friend who's going to give you the silent treatment. And that's not what I'm referring to. God is not that way in any shape or form. He just has more information than you do. Information you can't understand or don't need to understand at the time. My daughter doesn't understand why she can't play in the road. She doesn't need to understand that. She just needs to obey me and not go and play in the road. Fact is, you just have to trust, just gonna have to trust Daddy. I say that a lot to her, and God says that to us. But sometimes when you're feeling that disconnect, the temptation is to pull back and say, fine, you're not talking to me, I'm not talking to you. And kind of walk away. That's the exact opposite of what you need to do. Instead, oftentimes what God is trying to do is say, hey, I want you to get really serious about me. Let's return to where you have nowhere else to turn except for me, okay? So I'm just going to be quiet for a minute and wait for you to come to me. And he waits, and he waits until you come to him. And he can get your attention. He will get your attention. I want to read a couple of these verses, and then we'll close. Psalm 28. All of these will be psalms. He does a great job of expressing this idea of increasing your prayer. Psalm 28:1 says, to you I will cry, O Lord my rock, do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. And then verse 6, it says, blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. You see, the pleading with God, don't be silent, and then the answer coming. Psalm 13:1. Just back a little bit. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes. And he goes on and talks to the Lord. There. So it's not an uncommon thing to feel that from God. Psalm 83 in verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. Cry out to God. This is Asaph crying out to God and saying, please don't be silent to me. Go to him. He wants you to go to him. Psalm 44:23. Awake. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise. Do not cast us off forever. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Like, hey, why are you sleeping? We need you right now. Well, he's not. He's not. He's there. He hears you. Keep going. Keep pursuing. Increase your prayer. Cry out to him. And keep going back. Then the last thing I want to mention is Psalm 1. We talked about it a little bit earlier. It says, but his delight, in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. He's saying this, this godly man is one that plants himself by the rivers of water, or from the words of God, is implanted rich in the water. Across the street from our house, I was doing my devos one morning. I looked up, and I'm looking across these bushes, and it's got like same height of bush all the way until the very end, and then boop, it's up really high. And I was like, why would they trim their bushes like that? And I'm like looking at them again, and I'm like, this is the way my brain works. Yeah, I don't know if yours does this. I get distracted during my devos sometimes, but I'm looking and I'm like, what? Why would you do that? And I kept looking, and I was like, well, actually, it's this bush and then this bush, and then it drops down and it's flat the rest of the way. I was like, that's really weird. And then I noticed this white thing coming down from the roof called a downspout. Oh, those bushes got more water, so they're bigger and greener and more stable. And there were bushes all the way down at the end where the grading of the ground was sloped away that were pretty much burnt up. They were in rough condition. This was middle of summer last year. And they did not look so good. And I was like, man, maybe this is a silly example, but I want to be the tree right by the downspout. And that's what he's saying here. But don't forget the last part. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That chaff which the wind drives away is just tossed with any kind of wind. That's not the way we are supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded. So when the winds come, we withstand it. We can hold up. We can stick it out in the toughest of time. We don't want to be a tree that's roots are, 6 inches thin across. You see those after storms that just blew up, and you're like, well, that makes sense because all of their roots were in like 6 inches of soil. They never dug down deep into the water. And sometimes God is quiet because he wants you to dig down deep. He wants you to dig in and push that taproot down a little bit further and say, I'm not moving. I'm going to hold tight. So if you're in this situation, if you're struggling with something, anything, I know some of you are, and some of you I probably don't know. If you feel like God's quiet, do these things. Go to God and be faithful. Trust him. Examine your life for sin. Make sure you're clean before him. And once that's taken care of, trust and go to him. He will be faithful. And when you come out the other side, you'll probably understand a lot more. Maybe not. But you'll be thankful for who he is. And I hope that you'll do that. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for who you are. We're thankful for how you care for us. Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to feel that connection and closeness with you. God, we don't want you to be silent. But God, we do trust you. When there's things we don't understand, and when the wind is blowing, we want to be like that tree. So I ask, only through your strength can we be strong and stable. So I ask for you to give that to us. Help us to be this kind of believer. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, let me dismiss you with a benediction. We're not going to sing a closing hymn today, and then you can go in peace. Psalm 121, 7 through 8. The Lord keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Go in peace.